Blog Talk Radio.
Steve Austin joins Wade Keller on the PW Touch Livecast on Thursdays. Available for download now for both VIP members in an ad-free version and on PWTorchLivecast.com for everybody. This is the PW Torch Livecast for Friday, May the 26th, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. May the 26th, 2017. I'm Bruce Mitchell, Senior Torch Columnist. Follow me at MitchellPWTorch. We'll be joined in seconds by Rich Fan, co-host of this show. Let's go ahead and do that. So, Rich, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Livecast audience. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, good. You can call at 515-605-9345, 515-605-9345. It's a good bit of stuff to talk about since we talked last week. Go ahead and plug the East Coast Cast on Wednesday nights, and then we'll get to some stuff.
Oh, absolutely. East Coast Cast is another live cast in the Torch family, but it's a little more adult-friendly, a little less something you play in the minivan with the kids. It runs from 6 to about, I want to say, 9 p.m. for the free version. And that's Travis Bryant, columnist and host extraordinaire on the Torch. And his partner in crime for the free version is Cameron Hawkins of South Congress. And I co-host with Travis for the VIP portion, where we answer listener emails, discuss the events of the day with wrestling, and really anything that comes to mind to anyone that's a VIP subscriber. The same rule applies for the regular show. You can talk about wrestling, you can talk about comic books, movies, the East Coast Cast becomes the Entertainment Coast Cast, becomes the Political Coast Cast, and a host of other things. If you go on Facebook, look up PW Torch East Coast Cast. If you're on Twitter, at East Coast Cast.
Yeah, it reminded me of something since we talked about this week, and I want to hit it just really quickly, but Secret Empire, Steve Rogers, Captain America, number 17. Boy, talk about pouring heat on the heel. I read that, and I was just like, oh, man. Like, there is no way out. And I guess subtle would be the word, but definitely, you know, great art reflects the times that they're in, and this thing certainly does. So, wow.
The interview with the media, that conference was chilling.
Yeah, it was chilling. And you could see you could inexorably see where the interviewer is going to end up, but it was something. I continue to be amazed at this thing, and I know it's very controversial, but I think it's been very well done. I've got some faith. I definitely have some faith in it. At the end of the, I just want to see at the end of this thing where Steve Rogers ends up and how in the world you get your toy back in the toy chest. So it'll be interesting. Lots of developments since you and I have talked. Jinder Mahal is the WWE champion. Some controversy with that, and I don't know that I've really talked about that publicly since maybe a little bit since it happened. I wanted to see it happen, and it makes sense to me as a business move, but I wanted to see the reaction to it too. And I think the reaction to it in the first week, they have to be happy with it. He seems to be accepted as a heel champion by the people by the fans in the arenas, both Sunday night and Tuesday night. And then there was no appreciable drop or anything with the news coming out for the Tuesday night ratings, for SmackDown Tuesday night ratings. But I think this move, I know that Wade Keller and I will be talking about it on Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for this weekend, but I think this is a smart move, and I think it's going to be an interesting and a difficult move. And hopefully we'll have a caller that wrote a very interesting column as someone of the Indian ancestry, and how he reacted to this. But that was big news, and then just a lot of that stuff. So anyway, you want to go ahead? I know you've talked about this. What's your sense of where things stand with Jinder Mahal as WWE champion right now?
I think so far so good. Travis, I heard him on the live cast with Wade on Wednesday, likened it to JBL in 2004-05. And I think that's kind of a fair equation. But I think the big thing with Jinder is I mentioned this to you offline, and I wanted to talk about it here too. You know, I was gone on assignment last week to Disney, and one of the things I observed at Disney was, regardless of your political views or your socioeconomic status or your race or your health or your ability, Disney wants your money. And they will accommodate anyone because green is really the thing that matters to them, or whatever money you have that converts to that. With the WWE, I think we've, as fans, I'm 36, I've lived for the better part of 30 years with the WWE catering occasionally to people other than the traditional white male demographic a few times. With the quote-unquote ethnics, you know, when I go back and I watch on the network something like a Pedro Morales or Tito Santana or Ahmed Johnson or even now Rusev, you know, the foreigner is always, or the non-white person is always seen as this anathema, this thing to be hated or thing to be appreciated in some weird way. I read your article on Mark Henry with the Silverback, and that also gave me kind of an idea looking at gender of, you have this Indian guy who's in ridiculous shape, has some of the signs of things that usually people want to complain about, and that's a lot for people to process at once. And for me, I think so far so good, to reiterate, and I'm looking forward to see how he develops on the mic and the ring. I just hope fans and for some of our callers to have that same mindset of, if you're willing to give some of our smaller wrestlers who perhaps had to use other means to get bigger, faster, stronger, a blind eye to that, I don't think that should be the first thing you mention when you mention Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to all of a sudden object to that for folks who hadn't really objected to that for Jinder Mahal. But I look at that as an issue, and it is very much an issue I've written about and talked about over the years. But it's a health and wellness issue throughout WWE. And while it's been an important policy to slow down the there's just an epidemic of death and destruction due to PED use and the attendant drug use in professional wrestling, including WWE, that slowed it down. But their drug testing policy and their health and wellness policy definitely has its flaws, its inconsistencies, its hypocrisies, and things to raise an eyebrow out that I would like to see. I'd like to see the structure of that tightened up and more towards the USADA standards. That said, right now, this is a guy who's under those policies and has not failed anything. And what does that say in different circumstances? But I don't know. Anyway, we'll see with that. But he's not. I lived through the era of Ultimate Warrior types, and he was the epitome of it. But of the guys who got jobs, who couldn't work, who because they had a muscle head look, and that was all. And he's not part of that. He does have an impressive physique, no doubt. But that, to me, I'm not sure that's part of it. And the other thing that's really interesting is I definitely heard Travis, and particularly Wade, trying to get their heads around this and come to grips with what was going on with Jinder Mahal. But one of the things I think is very overblown is the idea that Jinder Mahal, because he was an opening match guy for so many years, all of a sudden getting this great push. And I think JBL's an interesting parallel. JBL, though, was in the APA for you know, all that time, the Acolyte Protection Agency, and then part, and then on television a lot more regularly in a mid-card role than Jinder Mahal ever was. Jinder Mahal is just some guy standing, you know, in the three-man band. He was, you know, there's just supposed to be three mismatched guys, not supposed to be the funny part of one of the funny parts of it. Heath Slater did the talking. He didn't do much of anything. And so, and then he disappeared for, you know, as far as WWE goes, for a year or so while he went on the indie scene. And then he was put with Rusev for a little bit to be the stooge and be, you know, to be the guy that loses. And that didn't last all that long. But he really is a new character in a lot of ways. I don't think that he's, I think there's certain characters that are on television for years and years that all of a sudden you gave them that push and gave them that transformation, it wouldn't work. But this one, I'm not surprised that it doesn't seem like the main of WWE fans are holding that against him, that he's not quite as typecast because he benefited from being so low down on the totem pole that he really didn't do much of anything. And you really didn't, you don't have any, there are no Jinder Mahal, three-man band memories, and that you know, that just jumped to your mind, and you know, even in, you know, even in any kind of general sense, except for he was the guy with a turban standing to the side. So I think that part of it, and then this is a big thing. It's not just WWE, but it's all professional wrestling is, you know, the whole business was just about based on the ethnic draw. From George Hackenschmidt to, you know, you look at Jim Londis, who may have been the greatest draw in the history of professional wrestling, because he was Greek, and he drew Greek fans all over the world and all over the United States. And he was, you know, just huge in the sports culture. He was one of the top, you know, acts in the sports culture in the 40s. And that, and so, you know, WWF was based on Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, all over the world. All, you know, Antonio Inoki is part of that. Japanese wrestling is pretty much based on this because of how their culture is so homogeneous. But so for WWE, if they're going to be international, if they're going to be you know, worldwide company, and they have their problems as far as their attitudes and who they are trying to figure these things out. But if they're going to do that, they should look at specific markets, and they already have television penetration in India, but not much else. So if they can get Jinder Mahal over, and then they're doing the Bret Hart, and that's been done in different places too, but the Bret Hart, you know, was a babyface in Canada and a heel in the United States. And that was brilliant. I mean, he did a tremendous job with that. You can sit there and watch and go, I can see why people in the United States would hate this. I can see why people in Canada would think he's a hero. You know, and not only that, but a Canadian hero. So if they can walk that line, and I'm not saying Jinder Mahal is the promo that Bret Hart was at, or the act or anything at that point in his career, but if they can establish that, just the merchandising alone in India, it might make that worth it. And if they can go on tour, and I've heard conflicting reports of a tour in September, but if they can go on tour in India, and have someone like that, and then go ahead and book him as a babyface while he's in India, that's a really interesting thing to do. And if they can do that in India, and if they can crack other markets, you know, China is the holy grail, and I don't know if they can crack either India or China. I mean, that's a big, there's a lot of different difficulties with that, but I think that's really interesting. I think that's really worth a shot. And I look at this guy, and I just go, talent-wise, he's not at the top of workers in the ring by any stretch of the imagination. He's not at the top of talkers. But I see a guy who's doing a basic wrestling character, which is the angry other, you know, the angry foreign heel, the angry and he's you know, he's got the Stooges with him, and he's also the rich guy. the affluent guy who can throw his money and power around, and that kind of character for the last 30 years can work both ways because people admire it too. And so I don't see a guy who can't do the stuff, and I also see a guy who's getting that first chance, and so far he's okay. I mean, that's what I would say. So and this week was a big week to me. It got rejected in the sense of everybody sat on their hands when he won the title after that, after Backlash, or if everybody sat on their hands and the ratings showed any kind of weakness with him the first week, there'd be problems. But I think that they got through the first chapter, and it's there. This is not, the objections I hear aren't, that you have to have a certain level of work rate at the very top. You can do things like have a Randy Orton work with a guy, or have a AJ Styles work with a guy, and hide the weaknesses. And this guy is an Ultimate Warrior. I mean, I use that as the worst example, but he's not Nikita Koloff. He's not Sid Udy. I mean, he's he's going to, he's probably learning more about how to work a main event style, particularly a WWE main event style. So anyway, I'm really interested in this part. And what do you think of the NXT TakeOver show? I thought they needed a good show, and I thought they delivered.
Yeah. Oh, and before we get to NXT, there's one thing I wanted to talk about with gender.
Okay, I'm sorry. I made my little speech and then didn't care about anybody else.
No. I wanted you to get out because I thought it was really good. I was really excited watching, because I was watching Flash and SmackDown at the same time, but I made sure to watch his first promo when he had the Bhangra dancers and the whole celebration. Two things I noted from SmackDown I really liked about Jinder. He's the only wrestler I've seen in a couple of years that looked directly at the camera in his backstage interview. And then
when
he addressed the crowd, he said, "I'm not doing this for you." And kind of what you're saying about Bret Hart, I'm doing this for the 1.3 billion people who look like me and are celebrating right now in India. And then they did a good job direction-wise of cutting to someone that was celebrating in the crowd with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Steve Austin was on, as you mentioned, when we began with Wade yesterday, and I think he is right. Jinder does need to take the facials down a little bit. He needs to be a little bit more measured, but I think the excitement of getting the ball and running with it, I always equate, and it's because I love football so much and I coach, I equate the top guy in wrestling with a quarterback on a good football team in the NFL. You don't know how to snap the ball. You don't know how to read the reads you see in the NFL until you actually have to do it. So given those promos, you could be reading those notes in the back, talking with the writers, talking with Vince. But until that red light comes on and you're out there with the Singh brothers, you don't know how to modulate your voice, how to cool yourself off. So I'm hoping in the next few weeks we see a maturation process that allows him to grow into the role that he's given himself a shot to have.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I made comments a couple of weeks ago. Does he have a cold? Is there something wrong? And yeah, you're right. The modulation, those little things can be worked on. And you don't get this sense that this is a guy that's going to have that much problems with it. I think, I hadn't even thought about the fact that he looked right at the camera. But that is such a pro wrestling trope for many years. And then Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon decided that wrestlers should not do that anymore. And probably, I think probably because no one in sports really does that, addresses the audience directly, and he did. And so that says something too, that they're really thinking through what are the things that we can do to have this guy have an impact. And I thought his match with Orton was decent, and that helps. And the celebration looked major league, and it didn't look like a major league celebration with a guy who was just an afterthought in it. He looked like part of it. People have said some things about the facial expressions, and I think that you have to get a hold of that. I've liked the kind of anger, I don't know how it looks like he smells something look that he has, and
it's a hair away from Rick Martel. It's not to the overdone nature that Rick Martel would have done it, but it's that disdain of, I have to be around you people.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I wanted to answer your question. Yeah. NXT, I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I liked top to bottom, the show, Authors of Pain versus DIY. Again, I heard Steve mention that he wasn't too happy with the fact that Ciampa kind of sat there, but I really liked it. I likened it to him just admiring his piece of art, because on Twitter he put up the animated GIF of him throwing Johnny Gargano into the table, and he's like, "This isn't your moment. This isn't our moment. This is my moment." And so he was just soaking in the moment. And then to have the pictures of getting kicked out of the bachelor pad he was living with Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano in, and just the way that Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano's wife, has been very good at saying, you know, the person we thought we knew has hurt my husband in a way, mentally and physically, I don't think I can ever have him get over, and I'm really disappointed that we allowed him into our home. Like, very old school, very old 80s level. Like, I could have seen that instead of on Twitter, on a studio television. Like, they cut an inset and they're showing you what happened as a result of Dusty Rhodes getting hit by yet another car and breaking yet another leg.
I liked it. I thought that, particularly social media parts, is what Wade Keller's been talking about. And it did give you a little look behind the scenes, but it also gave you, in 140 characters or less, they didn't have to go and show the scene in the apartment. You know, they didn't show you this corny scene with a bunch, you know, like, why are the cameras in here to kick him out? It was just, this is what would happen if, you know, in real life, two guys had a parting of the ways in their business and a, you know, kind of a betrayal by one of them, and the wife started tweeting about it. And so you can imagine the rest of it. You can imagine the scene in, you know, you can imagine the scene in the apartment. You can imagine the look on the wife's face, and keeping the husband quiet. I think, you know, that kind of, the rest of the details fill in for themselves. And that's a pretty smart use of this, instead of just, hey, we were hanging out at Olive Garden last night after the show, and boy, that was great. You know, we really had people going. But I thought that show was very good. We're going to take some calls, Rich, right after we hear from our anonymous ring announcer.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
All right, we're back with PW Torch Friday livecast. That number to call is never mind. We'll stop that. Here we go. That number to call is 515-605. Yes, 515-605-9345. Am I ready for a 3-day weekend? Yes, I am. So let's go to our friend Darrell in Georgia. Darrell, welcome to PW Torch livecast.
How you doing, Bruce? How you doing, Rich? Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely.
Just fine, man.
Okay. Hi. Just interested in listening to what y'all have to say. Have to agree with y'all on gender. And Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. I liked that book. And also, well, the two questions I have for you guys today are about booking. Starting with going to the main roster, with the booking of people like Nakamura, Charlotte, and just baby faces in general. With Vince and the way that he booked it, the way that he's been booking baby faces so far, it seems like that he don't do the baby faces no justice. Like Charlotte, let's say, how she was so interesting as a heel, but now as a baby face, she seems so irrelevant on SmackDown. And the way that they booked Nakamura so far, just in two matches, made him come down like 3 or 4 levels than how they was building him up the past 6 weeks for his first match. What do you guys say about how Vince been booked babyfaces so far lately? How do y'all like it, or do you like it, or do you see any good outcome coming from the way he booked?
Go ahead and take that, Rich.
Okay. Well, I'll start with Nakamura. I'm going to be frank, and I apologize to any of my fellow New Japan Puro enthusiasts who are going to say this is blasphemous, but as much as I love Shinsuke Nakamura, even going back to the last two G1s prior to his departure, but between injuries and just age, he was already getting a reputation for kind of phoning matches in until he got to the big ones. And getting older, getting more injuries, being in the WWE, and he's not a stupid man seeing how they want him portrayed. He's kind of going with the flow until they put him in something he needs that needs to matter. So I don't fault him because he's getting paid a lot of money to surf and be in America when that's what he wanted to do. So that's where we're at. It's disappointing. This calling him an artist, calling him a rock star, is only putting a facet of who he could be instead of just letting him be himself. And as Wade mentions, that second grader stick everybody in the middle and just stand there and look stupid is not going to do anything for someone with his sort of aura, because he's, pardon me, he's a very frenetic person. And so if you have him gesticulating and doing all that stuff to the side, if you do it with one person, that's cool. If you do it with seven people, he's the weirdo in the corner twitching.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think, you know, I thought I wasn't that upset by Nakamura's at all, by Nakamura's first match with Dolph Ziggler. It went as long as I thought it would. He showed what he could do. He might have been on defense a little more than I would have liked to have seen, but I didn't think it was all that far off. An opening match, I could take that or leave it, but I think he got a chance to show the charisma is what I want to see him show, and what makes him unusual, what makes him cool. I wanted to see that, and I did. As far as the style, yeah, he has adjusted his style because of what you said, and also it's WWE. I'm sure he's adjusted a little bit because of that, and you know, hopefully, I think one of the things he's going to need to do down the line is with the right opponent is to really have that. A great match, whatever a great match looks like with Shinsuke Nakamura in 2017, 2018. But he wasn't trivialized or marginalized. My biggest complaint, I'm not shocked at this, is that he's not used as a real special attraction. It seems like, you know, he's already wrestling on SmackDown, but he was wrestling in the main event in a tag team. And winning. So that was, you know, that was, I think, people complaining about that. I think, good grief, I don't know what to say about that. And if you think he stinks, you know, he doesn't stink, but he has changed and he has taken it. He has down a notch from that work in New Japan. And that's just the nature of life. But does that stink? As far as Charlotte goes, I don't get what's going on yet. I'm hoping yet is the key word. I'm hoping they've got a journey to take us on in some ways, but I think that she's, you know, I think that she's a miscast babyface going into the near future, and I could be proven wrong, but I don't know. We'll see.
That also goes into the issue that Vince seems to have, and I know Darrell, you had a second question. The whole. And we've talked about this a few months ago. He sees baby faces in a way that most of us don't. So even when I would argue, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, even when she was a heel, I think Vince saw her in his mind as a face. He said, well, of course she's the best. She's 6 foot. She's genetically superior. You know, these are things that she was using to say, I'm better than you in a negative way. And he's like, well, yeah, they're right. So, of course, when she becomes a face, writ large to the public, she's still going to be as arrogant because that's how he's going to want to produce her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. And that's going to be a problem too. I mean, that's just, I don't know. You need to, you know, there needs to be some sort of, I've grown into having some ethics, or I've grown into having confidence in myself where I know I'm the greatest and I don't have to take the cheap shot and I don't have to look down on everybody. I know I'm great, but I can still, you know, it gives me confidence, not makes me insecure that I have to brag about it all the time. And that part's, you know, missing in WWE baby faces. And you know, how that changes or whether that changes, you know, we'll see where that goes and what's that for. But Darrell, you have a second question?
Yes, I do. And just to respond to what you guys are saying, when I see how Vince booked, I think of a beautiful woman, but she's beautiful on the outside, but have nothing in the inside. Just all show, no depth. Nothing that once you meet, you get to talking to her for 5 minutes, you're like, man, it's all look. And it's really gone. You're no longer interested to a point you just like looking at her, but don't want to have a conversation with her because she has nothing in the inside.
Can I jump in for a second, Darrell? I would say this in general. I love that metaphor, and I want to appropriate a little bit of it. Not just WWE, but to me, pro wrestling is that girl you date, but you don't marry her. It's like that's just the whole business. And the people that do marry it, I worry about them. But no, that's that girl you date because you're going to have a good time because she's going to bring some excitement in your life, but you don't want to put that ring on that finger and make that total commitment. So, but yeah, I love that metaphor. So anyway, that's go ahead with your second question. I'm sorry. I just wanted to jump in.
No problem. Because the one that you do marry, drives something inside of you every time. You don't have to look at her. She speak and you interested, and that's what I'm feeling. Just that's why I don't mind when you see somebody like Shinsuke Coast, because if you look at the basketball players like LeBron James, in the season they coast. Then when the playoffs come around, that's when they step it up and show you who they really are. Once you're a major name and people know who you are, you show up for the big shows. Big shows will be your first match.
Yeah, and also any great wrestler, a ring veteran, is going to change their style, take away some of the physicality, take away some of the risk, and work a smarter style because they're veterans and they know what to do. I think with this, though, I do see why some fans are disappointed in what they're getting with Nakamura, but I mean it's reality. It's still pretty damn good. So anyway, get your second question, and we'll go with that.
Okay, second question would be. With NXT, I love the way how they book, especially with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. That whole thing when they waited all the way to the end, and when you seen the credits at the end, then have them turn and make people seem bigger than life and brought people into their shows, even though that NXT show wasn't people weren't high on it at first, but after you watched it, you left feeling like, man, this was a great show. This was a good show, and it drew you into it. And how they rebuilding their roster, and I'm thinking with Triple H and how his booking style is. What is the difference between the way how he's booking and what you potentially see once he takes over, and what you've been seeing the past 20 years, 20, 30 years with Vince?
Well, the last 30 years with Vince has been all kinds of different ways because he has fought his wars and had his errors and won. And, you know, he's gone from being the kiddie from very clear Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania kiddie promotion through, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, through Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and to the John Cena era. And he has, you can argue with the adjustments, but he has changed what he's doing, and now he's older, and now and he has his interest in his, you know, and he has his weaknesses and all that kind of thing. So I don't know. I mean, one of the biggest questions, of course, one of the biggest issues and one of the biggest, most interesting things to come is we're in the middle of a transition from Vince McMahon's management to someone else's manager. It's Triple H's booking and that kind of, or whoever it is that, I mean, how that all works out. And there's a disconnect, I think, between how NXT's run and what they're trying to and the kind of acts that they're putting together and sending to the main roster and how that main roster is using them. That said, you know, we'll see. I don't know the answer to that. I'm really interested in it. I'm really interested in it. So we'll see what happens. I suspect that there's not that much that there's not going to be that much difference between how Triple H books the main roster and how and when his time comes, and how Vincent Mann does. You want to chime in on this, Rich?
Sure. I think he would make subtle changes. The little wrestling things, like the things, I think I heard that during that awesome Stone Cold interview. I think he would allow wrestling to be used more as a phrase on TV. And
yeah,
we'd see little things like the old school vignettes, and again, more of those tropes that we remember but have been phased out in terms of sports entertainment, quote unquote. But by and large, he's still going to want his big guys, and the little guys he pushes are going to be the guys that he can take total credit for. It's not like he's going to have someone pop up. And that's the thing about the roster at this point. There isn't going to be that Jericho circa 99 to 2001 that came out of nowhere, and who is this little guy that's getting a push next to me while I'm being myself and I'm 6'4". All of those guys are going to be guys he can say, well, I gave this little guy, you know, I took Tyler Bate, and I know he wrestled in the UK, but I gave him a bigger spotlight and showed him where the hard camera was, and look at how he's doing now. And so those little anecdotes can always put another feather in his cap as those guys progress. But other than that, I think they're still going to have some of the same issues. The writing, having favorites, it's just going to change the wrestlers that people may have fonder feelings for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's going to be, as you know, we're in the midst of a big technological shift and how content is delivered. And so we'll see, and that'll affect how they do their content too. So, I mean, there's a lot, that's a huge question that's just worth watching. I don't know the answer to it. And I think also that Triple H plays these games that Rich is talking about, and that's, you know, that kind of obscures how things go too. Let's go to our friend Colin in New Jersey. Colin, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Rich. Good to be with you guys again this week.
Always a pleasure.
Rich, this question is more for you.
Oh.
Which wrestlers are you excited to see in the upcoming Mae Young Classic Women's Tournament?
Well, okay. So, I've been talking with the captain of my East Coast cast ship on Wednesdays, Travis Bryant, and he and I had an argument Wednesday about this. Well, not an argument so much as a discussion where I got a little upset because I'm a big Bayley fan. Travis is probably out of the Torch columnists, a number one, and was one of the first people to say if she got merch, she'd be huge. A couple of months ago, Bayley started using the Macho Man elbow, which it's okay. It looks okay. I appreciate the imitation for one of her heroes. But they're bringing in Kairi Hojo, and she does the best elbow drop in professional wrestling. And she will not be able to use it, allegedly, because Bayley just started using it. She's one of my favorites, not only for the tournament, but to dethrone Asuka if it is an Ember Moon, because she's one of the best wrestlers I've seen over in Stardom. Her and Io Shirai are dynamic women who hit as hard as Asuka. It's basically like the old Godzilla movies, and this is, again, this is really inappropriate, but like bringing in Mechagodzilla and Mothra to kind of combat Godzilla. This kind of is right in the face of what you were talking about, Bruce, with the King, the King meets Kong line from, I didn't even intend it, with Mark Henry versus, I think it was Viscera or something like that. But yes, in terms of the Japanese buzzsaw killer femme type, those two are my favorites. I'm looking forward, if she is going to be in it, to Crazy Mary Dobson, who I see wrestled on the latest NXT tapings under another name, and Johnny Gargano's wife. Candice LeRae is one of the best women wrestlers in the United States, and one of my fears had been she would not get signed by the WWE because she participated in so many mixed tag matches as with what's his name? I should know his name. Anywho, they were the world's cutest tag team, and they would wrestle the Young Bucks and all those other guys. And there was a particular match in PWG where she got beat bloody, and I wasn't too comfortable watching it.
Yeah,
but
I saw that.
But that was to her. That was one of her favorite matches. And, I, you know, again, if that's what she feels, that's great, but I did not feel comfortable watching it.
Yeah, I think WWE is on the right side. Yeah, right side of that, but yeah. Okay, folks to look forward to. All right. Let's move to, let's go ahead and let's take another break for a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
It's worth saying that this is a grassroots business, and every little bit counts. So if you can find your way to support us through Amazon, through the link with Amazon, it doesn't cost you anything, and it definitely does help. And go to Pro Wrestling Tees and look up our new PW Torch T-shirts, which I hopefully will be getting up and out to some folks this week. We'll try to. Let's move to
7:30.
Yes.
Move on.
Oh yeah.
If people are going to go on Amazon, you're going to give a little tip, as Wade mentions, in the tip jar, and some of that money could come out of the money you save by joining the VIP promo code and getting $9 off your first month.
Oh, good grief! Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you were on top of that. You know, I wasn't CC'd on that. So yeah, good. And then also, just everybody has their busy weeks. Maybe I missed it, but yeah, awesome. Say that again. Do that again.
Yeah, sure. So if you go on to the pwtorch.com/VIP site, the promo code is VIP May Sale, all one word, and you get 90% off the VIP for the first month. So instead of paying $10, you get $9 off of your first month, or a $9 discount to a 3-month or $9 to a year of VIP. So you're going to save that money, and then you can take that extra $9, go on Amazon, buy the delightful book Bruce mentioned to me a few months ago about Confidence Men, and you'll have another 99 cents to go out of your pocket to buy the book.
The Big Con by Luke Sante. I'm sure it's very inexpensive at this point. I've seen it. I saw it a couple of years ago, stacked up in the bookstore, on the remainder aisle. So The Big Con by Luke Sante.
I got it for $9.99 on Amazon for my Kindle.
Yeah, it's worth saying, for your dollar, if you have not been a subscriber before, you get access to Daily Wade Keller audio shows on podcast, up to the minute insider analysis and news. With that, you get two hours plus of the Bruce Mitchell audio show, hosted by Wade Keller. You get The Fix with Todd Martin. There's a roundtable audios after every major show, every major professional wrestling show, WWE shows, and not only that, but there's a backlog of catalogs of live cast and PW Torch talks with everybody from Steve Austin all over the place, and the major figures in professional wrestling for the last 25 or so, last 30 years, excuse me. Really, I think it's about to 30 years now. And Wade Keller was the first person to do to get on the record interviews with major people in professional wrestling, at the end of the kayfabe era. So there's a lot to look at. There's a lot to, and there's also a lot to read with archives of 30 years of weekly newsletters covering professional wrestling business, including, and my friend Rich was actually, while I was assessing kids today, I was going back and forth with him on DM about Bruce Mitchell column archives and things that have gone on with me over the years. So lots to read. In time of the major professional wrestling stories, the biggest professional wrestling stories. So that's a hell of a deal. That first month for a buck. That's if you are a Livecast listener and you like what we do, give it a shot. Good grief, it's a good deal. It's a good deal at $10, much less at a dollar. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll say it. If Bruce wasn't going to say it, I was. If you just spent that $10 for a month of reading 29 years?
No, we haven't got to 30 yet. 20, coming up on 27. I think that's right. 27 years
of Bruce's commentary and his awesome takes. I mean, I don't agree with, you know, we text a lot as I'm reading these because as my school year has slowed down, I have time during lunch where I can actually eat lunch and read as opposed to finding other students I have to help. So it's been really cool to catch up on the issues I hadn't read or to jump to big events and see what the thought was at the time. Most notably this week I read about the GWF and kind of the parallels between that and some of the other crazy promotions that have come up involving money in the last few years. And so just looking at it, I'm a big fan of history outside of wrestling, and all this stuff repeats itself. So if you can get some of the best commentators in professional wrestling journalism telling you what happened, when it happened, and then you can look back and say, hey, they were right, that only proves how good the job done on their end. So I can't recommend it enough.
Cool. Appreciate that. Let's go to our friend Scott from New Jersey. Scott, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. What's going on tonight?
How about yourself?
I think all three of us see a great light that we are swimming towards, and we might get there.
The end of that year, the end of that year, you cross one thing off, guys, and you add 10 for what you have to do, you know? But it'll be the end of the light is there. But first, I will say this, guys, just we continue what you're talking about. I came back to VIP in 2000, 4 or 5 years ago with one of these $1 sales, and it is the best money you could spend. It's the best $10 I spend every month, and, you know, just to continue what you guys are saying. And, like, when you're looking for, if you like what's going on when you're listening, some of these old back issues, I've been reading through some of these ones from, like, 88, and reading Wade's perspective back then, you could tell, like, just the way he's grown as a, you know, a journalist. It's just amazing. And reading the perspectives, it's, guys, that, and the shows have been, you were just saying, too, like, talking about all the extra benefits you get for VIP. And, you know, Wade's been even doing 2 daily updates now, like a midday update. It's insane. I don't know how he continues.
Wait a minute. Wade is doing 2 daily updates?
Dude, how long has that been going on now, Rich? A couple weeks? I just, like, you know, Wade's been doing 2, like a midday update as well.
Now, I listened to Wade and Travis because I was really interested in how they were taking some things. But he's doing 2. Okay, go ahead, Rich. But he's doing 2? Good Lord.
I thought he was, yeah, because I saw afternoon and then I would see one early in the morning. So, yeah, that is 2. I lose track of time sometimes when it comes to the podcast because I just load them and off I go with my day.
Totally. And Bruce, you did 3 parts last week. Insane.
Well, yeah, I missed the column this week, so I had some family travel to do. But I did 3, and sometimes those 3 come from Wade and I just organically, naturally having a conversation, argument, whatever. And there was an argument. People seem to enjoy that. So I mean, so it can hopefully lengthen the content in a good way. So I got you, Rich. So that, yeah, we can, that's how that works. So there is a lot of content. There's a lot of different, you know, it's worth saying that Sean Radican has started a new audio show for VIP members on Saturdays. And the first one got really good reviews. People were happy with that. There's all kinds of voices, Greg Parks. There's all kinds of voices and different takes on things. So, you know, it's not.
Oh yeah. Mike McMahon, God bless him. He's watching TNA.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I give him credit, guys. I give him credit for that one. But, guys, can I give you my 2 things before you guys, just to give you – I have 2 things I wanted to ask about. First thing I want to talk is early getting into Money in the Bank getting into the Money in the Bank pay-per-view and building. Early perspective on who you guys could see winning the Money in the Bank this year.
Rich?
I would say out of the group, gosh, I was defaulting to either Nakamura or Corbin.
Yeah, I don't see Nakamura doing it. I don't see Nakamura doing it necessarily. But it's more a heel thing to have that briefcase, although they've made it into a babyface wanting to take that shortcut and, you know, using it to be the champion without actually beating the champion heads up, man to man, face to face. Corbin, I could see. I'm trying to think. Let me see who else is really clever in that. I could see Miz doing it again with Maurice in there.
Other side, Bruce. He's on Raw now.
Oh, he's on Raw now. Shoot, I did it again. So, all right, give me my five.
It's Kevin Owens.
Shinsuke
Nakamura, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, and now I'm blanking on the fifth.
Well, of that crew, I agree with you, maybe Corbin, in that it gives them the intrigue and it gives them a little something, and then they can continue to hope that he gets out of being so bland and keeps improving on his on his personality. But yeah, I don't think Kevin Owens needs it or should have it, and he just came out of that. So yeah, maybe Corbin. I don't think that's gonna thrill anybody. But yeah,
I'll add the other two. It's actually six people.
Oh, that's right, six. That's right.
This way in. I forgot Dolph Ziggler and Sami Zayn, which. Wow.
Yeah, Baron Corbin. When you look at that, Baron Corbin is kind of a, 60% choice for the rest of them. Sami Zayn having it doesn't make much sense, and AJ Styles having it, if he's going to be a top babyface, I mean, I guess he could have it, but that doesn't, on the other hand, maybe AJ Styles, a little bit less than Corbin, AJ Styles having it, and, calling his shot against the heel would be really exciting. Would get people jacked up, particularly the right heel. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I don't know. I'd still go with Corbin just as a they're having this, but they don't have huge plans except for later on to get it there. So yeah, Scott, who's your pick?
I think everything you say makes sense. I would love to see Nakamura. I would love to see Nakamura win, but I don't think that's what we'll see happening. I think you guys make sense with Corbin. I know they like to go that heel way and have that. How about this, guys? My other thing is this. I have no idea when he's planning on coming back, Cena, but could you see them going into a Cena-Jinder feud for, like, SummerSlam? I don't know if he's on the books for SummerSlam or anything, but could you guys see them going in that direction? Like, Cena, like... When John Cena comes back, I think SmackDown has a lot of people that he could work with to help elevate when he does come back, and it seemed like he enjoyed that role. And what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Rich. I've got some comments, but go ahead.
Okay. I think Cena for SummerSlam, no. But I would say Cena, and this is kind of long-range planning, given he's already filming American Grit and all that other and the other movies, if he were to feud with Jinder going into the India tour, you give him an established draw that he's going to be playing opposite of. Cena will have the pub of going against one of the first Indian champions in the WWE, second, but in WWE's world, they'll probably somehow create it. He was the first at something, maybe first Sikh. I'm sorry, I apologize. And I think American Grit's going to be a fall show, so having that extra pub of John Cena fighting for the title, going on his Today Show spots, yada, yada, I think that would only help Jinder, to be honest. Instead of that guy from Atlanta, they would actually say his name because it is so exotic. He is so exotic. And I think, even Tamron Hall would be excited about talking about someone like Jinder.
Yeah, here's what I like about this idea. Something we touched on a little bit. Jinder Mahal, the SmackDown Indian commentators had a different you know, a different take on him winning than everybody else did, and that WWE had a Jinder Mahal promo with the Singh brothers that was just for the Indian market. That was a different type of promo. That was that was him as a babyface national hero. And so, could this be a way for everybody to finally get what the, in a certain way, what they have been begging for years and years and years, to the point where in the early days of this show, Travis and I would come on, and I used to tell people, don't bring up John Cena turning heel because I'm sick and tired of talking about it because it's not happening. But John Cena, as John Cena in the United States, hustle, loyalty, and respect, and Jinder Mahal as the, as I said, the other WWE champion, and then play it one way and book it in a way. And this has been actually been done in certain circumstances in professional wrestling before, but book it on the air in one way. So for the vast majority of the WWE universe, John Cena is the babyface and Jinder is the heel, but then, book it in a way so that you can defend what Jinder is doing. Don't have, for example, don't have the Singh brothers, you know, running in and acting like stooges very much. And do something that and maybe you can figure out a way culturally to do this, but do something where Cena is the heel, is acting heelish according to what the Indian fans and the 1,300,000 people in India, of which how many of them are wrestling fans, and they're looking at going, and the commentary in India can be that Cena's the heel and Jinder's the face. So, I think that would be like the irony of all ironies if John Cena turned in. Now, if John Cena became a heel in one culture and stayed babyface in the other culture, and he flip-flopped Jinder Mahal too. So I think that would take some really close, detailed work planning, and it also would take we're just in the first few pages of the first chapter of what's going to happen with this in Jinder Mahal. And also, is it going to hook, you know, a very different culture? Are they going to be able to take advantage of doing business in a very different, or be able to do business in a very different culture? So, I think John Cena and Jinder Mahal, I could definitely see, John Cena coming in for a quick program with Jinder Mahal and maybe, you know, coming out of it not the champion, and then later on coming after. But you've got to remember that at some point, John Cena's going to win another world title so that he can tie. And is he tied with Flair now? He's tied with Flair now. So he can break that. And that might be something they can use as an issue. But Wade and I talked about the possibility of transition champion. I don't see this as a transition champion. I don't see what we saw. And particularly they're not spending the money on the dance routine on Tuesday night if they were going to do that. But yeah, I think that this is going to go down the line, and they have some room to experiment in that AJ Styles is established, Randy Orton is established. And then as long as it's not damaging SmackDown ratings, you know, that's been a little bit of a positive for them, as far as getting those ratings up in the brand split. And they've got this model where they're getting money, a lot of money ahead of time on things. So they've got room to make a move like this into another market, and if they can sustain their first part. So,
And to your anyway. Point about transitional champion, because I know Wade and Travis see him that way, here's why I don't think he is. It's ironic because Randy Orton was also involved in it. Look at how they treated Christian with Randy Orton.
Yes.
That was the definition of a transitional champion. That one more match. He won the title on Sunday, lost it by that Tuesday taping.
I'd forgotten about that one. Wade like asked me about transitional champions, and I went through Stan Stasiak from 40 years ago, but I'd forgotten about and I think part of it was that was sort of unique back in those days. But Christian got the gold watch for sure.
Yeah, and that was the one that stuck in my head because I had seen him. That was back when I was watching TNA. I had watched him in TNA try to prove, you know, I fired events who never watched anything, I'm sure, that he could be that guy. And then he got the ball for about 8 seconds and then got another short reign off of a technicality and then lost it just as quick. And so for me, if you wanted to treat Jinder Mahal like that, that's actually, you're actually wasting the opportunity. I bought his modern-day Maharaja shirt. One, because I thought it was – the key with wrestling shirts, I think people have to realize, is the less it looks like a wrestling shirt, the more likely it is people can wear it in public. And when you have the colors, when you have the elephant and then on the back, modern-day – on the front, modern-day Maharaja, and then on the back, Jinder Mahal, that just looks like someone might have been spring break somewhere. And they're, oh, what is this ethnic shirt you're wearing? As opposed to, you know, a picture of Asuka. I can't walk around with Asuka's face on my shirt.
Yeah, that game has been going on for years, and also trying to make them look like, trying to make them resemble mixed martial arts shirts. And mixed martial arts shirts kind of have that same point. Although I'm sitting there thinking, in fact, WWE has a house show tomorrow night here in Greensboro, and I was thinking, I wonder if I can. It's a Raw house show, but I wonder if I can get a Jinder Mahal shirt just for some reasons. I'm always a big fan of the white guy with the tribal tattoo. So I'll have to.
Oh yeah, or the Affliction shirt.
Yeah. So that's
the tribal tattoo, the Affliction shirt. Yeah, but seriously though, looking at Jinder, I'm very excited about it now that he has merchandise, because I think that will move, and I think they will sell a lot of those shirts. And I'm not saying in the generic, you're going to sell them all to India. They're going to make money here with those shirts. Because
yeah, they may. I mean, that's the other part. Yeah, he may catch on. He may or may not catch on, but he may catch on. And you know, this is a multi-ethnic. And lots of people of color in this country, and not only that, but you know, people that like cool, powerful heels, across all boundaries. So, and that are wrestling fans. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he's not going to have the indie cred thing. But there's and the indie cred thing will sell a lot of t-shirts in the right circumstance, even for WWE. But he could catch on too.
Yeah, he's not Sanjay Dutt, where he can come out and say, I've been doing this, this, and this. He even admitted it in his Talk is Jericho interview. He went to a couple of indies, but for the most part, he just, you know, stayed back, got himself right, and was going with the power of positivity. If anything, when he's ready for that face turn, and, you know, this is really fantasy booking, talking about learning under the tutelage of Bad News Allen, because I'll be 100% honest, any person who's good with Bad News Brown, I will not have an issue with.
Bad News Brown, Alan Cage carried a lot of credibility in as far as being a professional wrestler who seemed like a badass because he was a badass. And, you know, with the judo credentials that he had, and he helped train and work with a lot of people before he passed away. And, you know, worked in Japan and New Japan for many, many years. And, you know, he had his run that he's remembered for in the WWE, but boy, you know, Stampede and a lot of other places, he carried a lot of weight. And so, Bad News Allen was something. If he can take some of that, it would be interesting. But he's got a long way to go to do those things, but looks like he's getting that opportunity. You're right. I don't know why you would do what you're doing with him and then just turn around and transition out and say, well, we made a mid-card guy that got, you know, that got elevated to, you know, elevated as a chess piece for some other folks you certainly didn't get a gold watch, but elevated as a chess piece to move around some other people in the world title hunt. I think that if they've got a major, you know, again, you got a major audience, you've established your television and you're not selling much of anything else. I mean, that's an obvious thing to do. And if you've got the opportunity, and you know, you kind of said this to me off the air, it is that season after WrestleMania where you can do some things. And Wade talked about this too with the incomparable James Ellsworth storyline from a few months ago. When you've got this break, you can do that. But I think they just looked at some numbers in India and went, why aren't we taking advantage of this? And went from, you know, we're impressed with Jinder Mahal, how he's, you know, how he's grown his muscularity, how he's, you know, how he how he holds himself backstage, and so we're gonna elevate him to the mid card and put him in a tag team with Rusev. And then they went, no, we need to do more than that. And yes, there are weaknesses in how that transitioned over. I understand people kind of feeling that way, but I also understand people looking at going, there's no upward mobility, nothing counts for anything. And then when all of a sudden there is some, complaining the other way. I think that's, you know, and I think that's human nature, but that's that's part of it too.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a double standard, because, like I mentioned to you when we were talking this week, and you know, a lot of things have been done in the last few years under the guise of, because of the network as opposed to pay-per-view buys, they could be more experimental. And I think the experimental is a different mindset than transitional. And I would say gender is an experiment. Just like, to be frank, last year, as I mentioned to you, AJ Styles was an experiment by Vince McMahon to see if he could take this guy from New Japan by way of TNA and trust him to be one of his top guys. And he proved him right. Both
yeah.
with Chris Jericho and with Roman Reigns. I think we severely underestimate how well AJ made himself look in the eyes of Vince McMahon by having glorious losses to Roman Reigns last year. And that allowed him to have the run he did on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing about experiments are that AJ Styles worked. We don't know about gender yet, and experiments work, and then some experiments in entertainment and sports work, and some don't. And so, that's an important part of that. 916, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring in Raymond. Raymond, you're next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
First call, of course. Rich, talk about why you invited Raymond on the show, and where people can see what he wrote. But we'll have our talk with him. But go ahead and introduce him.
Sure. I was just going about my day as normal on Twitter, and one of my buddies, Daniel Palmer, sent me a tweet with Raymond's link on his Cage Side Seats article, which I'll be sending out while we talk to him about some of the nuances to Jinder Mahal's character that we as non-Indian, non-Sikh Americans aren't picking up, and the importance for him as a casual fan, which I'm going to let him talk about it. And it was really not only enlightening to me, it helped create that 3D person as opposed to the 1D persona I was interested in seeing develop anyway, but now I have even more reason to kind of support him and be happy for him. And boo him, I guess, as it is now for him as a heel.
Well, I appreciate that, and that wasn't honestly my intention when I first wrote the article. It was on impulse, as you know. Mm-hmm. I saw this Punjabi Indian guy on TV getting this push, and I was on Twitter and I was scrolling through and I was seeing people were legitimately confused, because you know it, WWE really doesn't have time to explain the intricacies of the culture or anything like that. So the one thing that got me was that somebody made this comment about the carpet. They're like, why isn't it a longer carpet? Is he trying to get his, keep his shoes clean, or you know, what is he trying to do? And you know, that comment got me, and I was like, you know what? I got to write this piece. I got to kind of get that out there. But I don't want to change people's mind. You know, he could be a heel to you. He could be the face to you, but in the end, I just want to get the culture out there.
So talk about the carpet.
The carpet, man. It's not really only a Punjabi thing, but it's an Indian thing where, when you're the groom at a wedding and you enter the bride's house for the first time, they actually lay out a cloth or like a very like royal fabric for you to step foot into the house first, as you know, as a sign of, you know, you're our guest and we treat you with royalty. So in the same sense, he's the Maharaja, so that's a king, and to the Singh Bros, that's their king. So they want to respect that, and they don't want him stepping on the ground first. They want him stepping on the carpet. So it's not a magic carpet, guys. That's it's kind of a royal thing.
Okay.
Now, do you think the dancing is something that should be done for every entrance? Because I think if they're going to go big and treat him like, say, Alberto Del Rio right out of the gate, I think that celebration should follow him everywhere he goes whenever he has big moments.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. I think they can incorporate that. I mean, they don't have to book a you know, a huge dance team every time, but they got the Singh Bros there, right? So that's something they could use. And another thing I don't think you guys or a lot of people know about is on NXT there's actually another Punjabi guy. Do you guys know who that might be?
No.
Okay. Well, they hold the tag team titles right now on NXT. And he's part of the Authors of Pain. His name is Ikem.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that either.
He is full-on Punjabi. And I didn't know that at first because when they first started out, they really didn't have names. But in his very first match, he is violently speaking Punjabi. And I was just watching, and I was on my phone scrolling while I had the TV on. And I hear these words, and I'm like, is that my dad? What's going on? I rewind it, and it's this big dude in the ring that looks Samoan that's destroying this guy, and he's speaking in Punjabi. I'm like, wow, you know, this guy's getting a push like this. So that was pretty cool, and I think they might incorporate him. You know, you never know.
Well, I think one of the things with this is – go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce. I was going to say, I know they – not signed, but I know they had a tryout, and there was like 20 – of great Khali's trainees that they were working out in India. So if there's mm-hmm. some people that they can bring up and make a stable for the Maharaja, that would be similar again to JBL's cabinet. That would be a pretty smart thing for them to do.
Or, you know, and even once you have one person, you know, go through the door and succeed, then people watching go, maybe I can do that too. And they're starting to open their minds up to people like me. And so, you know, and they're recruiting in India and that kind of thing. So if they can do that, and if they can find someone, I always use that term tent pole, put that pole up for the tent, and then find another tent pole, another person that can be a star. And maybe, you know, and also, I would, you know, since you've got a heel, I'd look for someone who could play babyface for the WWE Universe. And then you've got, you know, then you've really started to open up, you start to open up to the market and maybe get, you know, and really can make a move there, I would think. Now, there's a lot of political and business things that American companies are having a hard time dealing with in certain ways in India, and so you know, learn that too. But Romar, what else? What other things should we look for while we're watching this push that could add some depth to what we're seeing?
I mean, as far as there's certainly other things. As far as I added this on later to the article, so I don't know if you guys got to read it, but you know, people were also I saw them criticizing, you know, if that's the Cobra Clutch Slam, why is it called the Colossus all of a sudden? And
Oh, like you can't change like they never changed the name of wrestling holes when they're promoting wrestling over the years. Yeah, okay, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally understand. Like, you know, the super kick is something for somebody else, but with the Colossus it's translates to the end or the finale. So that's literally the translation, and that's used in war. So if there's like a war going on, that's something that you know, a general would yell out as like the final play on the battlefield. And so that's another thing. And I don't know if they're going to keep incorporating these things. I know Jinder is very, very proud of his heritage, and he should be. But I don't know if they're going to keep incorporating all these separate things. Even if they took the title off of him, I think he's built himself even, you know, onto like a high mid card level. So I think they're going the right direction with this.
Can you talk, you know, I try to be careful about casting Rich or Travis in, you know, a spokesman role for, anyway, and so, but can you talk about, do you have any sense of whether this getting how this is getting over with or whether it's getting over with Indian wrestling fans Canadian fans who have that descent or people that you know.
Yeah, that's actually funny that you brought that up because right after Backlash, I looked at my dad and I was like, and he does not watch it because he got really mad when he found out that it was scripted. So So I told him think of it more as a TV show, as you know, as a story, and you know he never really caught on, but now he's watching again, and that surprised me. So he sat there and watched Backlash with me. He's a big AJ Styles mark now, guys, and I think the gauge is it's very popular. It's very rampant because he actually made a call out to his relatives as soon as it happened, and they were actually watching a bootleg stream of it, but they were watching it, and
right.
Everybody's excited out there. There was a poster apparently at like shops in Punjab of him just with the Photoshop title on him. So it's catching on like fire, man. It's spreading.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that news. I mean, I'm not one way or the other. Just like, yeah, I was curious, and I think there was now, did I see online the Prime Minister congratulated him, or was there something, a major figure in India, or was it?
No, it was. I mean, it wasn't just one. It wasn't like, I don't think it was the Prime Minister. But I believe it was just a bunch of like singer, songwriters, artists that are from that area, as well as just like the big figures. There's all these Indian media artists, entertainment artists, and even some Bollywood actors that took notice, and they're shouting him out, and he's retweeting them. So if you guys are looking to see who they are, he's retweeting them on his Twitter page.
Okay. Raven, anything?
Alberta legislature, they actually put it into the minutes, don't hinder gender.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what I saw. Okay, yeah, that's what I saw. By the way, is he going to be seen as a phony because he isn't from India? He's of Indian descent, but he's from Canada?
No, I didn't think so at all. There's no way. He's Punjabi. You know, it's something the best way I can explain our – you know, the way we look at our culture is if you look at the Hispanic culture, we're very proud in that sense. So if he's American Hispanic, or if in this sense he's Canadian, you know, Punjabi, Canadian Indian, we're proud that somebody with that bloodline, that lineage is doing something. And people in Calgary, I have family in Calgary as well, relatives, and they're excited too, so.
Cool. Thank you. So wrote this article for Cage Side Seats and Raymond Najjar. What's the title of it again? Just for the plug.
The Ultimate Guide to Understanding Jinder Mahal. And I usually do writing for like basketball and whatnot, but I just had to do this for Cage Side, and I'm glad it caught on like it did, and people are learning more about the culture.
Now, I appreciate you coming on the show. Now, you write for you do college basketball or the NBA or what's
NBA.
Your?
I write, unfortunately, for the Sacramento Kings. I don't know if you guys know about them, but they're not really a great franchise. But I write for.
Raymond, I'm a Knicks fan, so I have no room to complain of
high
any
five.
Franchise.
High five. All right.
Well, Raymond, go ahead.
Oh yeah. I'd like to say if any of you guys out there like my writing style or anything, I don't write for one specific place. I don't have an affiliation anywhere, but, I do post them on my Twitter. So if you guys want to follow me on my Twitter, it's at Raymond Najjar, and, Rich Fan, I believe he tweeted my name out there already.
Yeah.
Cool. I follow. Yeah. As soon as I read that, I thought definitely worth a follow. Now I want to change the subject just a little bit. Rich's wife and I are completely diametrically opposed to Rich on this issue. Where are you on the Duke Blue Devil basketball team?
I hate the Blue Devils.
See, Raven's my man. See, there it is.
See, I wouldn't have let him on the air if I'd known that. I am a Durham, North Carolina native and a huge Duke fan since 1971.
You have,
so, yeah.
You have a reason to like them, but they got so many Fairweather bandwagon fans, and I'm a Kentucky fan just because they're the farm league for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So they dish out all their talent to us, and then we train them for 8 years, and we trade them away like Boogie Cousins. So that's how it
goes. That's right. Yeah, that's funny. Well, I'm really upset with you telling me that. So, but still, I thought it was an excellent article, and I think I think WWE has a challenge in breaking into a new market, and I think. Understanding what's going on, I think for us, understanding this market and understanding what more nuances of what's going on with Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers and their act, that's really interesting. So I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll be looking forward to more of your writing, and call in anytime and probably be in contact with you as this story, as they say, develops. So thanks, Raymond.
All right, thank you guys.
So, yeah, that was we extended the show just a little bit. Turned out that we gave a big plug that for VIP members will be cut out, I would imagine. But for everybody else, $1, $1 gets you the promo code. Say the promo code again.
Oh, it is. Now I got to find it again. With me, fam.
Yes.
Let's see. Pro Wrestling Torch VIP sale. Oh, darn it. I'm failing you here, Bruce. Bear with me. But, yeah, while I'm looking for that, I thought that was awesome.
I did, too. Yeah, I very much did. And just getting an idea of how it's getting over. Yeah. Go ahead.
I want to give a shout-out to Jason because I wanted to do that at the beginning. He did awesome. I was very, it's Jason from Perth, so I knew.
Oh, good grief. I should have done that, too, Jason. Yeah.
He was a rock star, and I saw all the positive feedback and all the comments, and I'm in that course too. I thought he did a magnificent job. I'm actually worried about my job, but it's okay. It's okay. We'll get through it. The promo code for the Torch VIP May sale is VIP May sale. All one word.
Cool. Good. Rich, appreciate your as always your participation. Good show. Interesting times for a lot of different reasons in professional wrestling, and we'll continue to cover it. I'll be back this weekend with Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, two or maybe three parts, but with Wade Keller, and we'll be covering everything, and I'm sure having a really interesting conversation, and got new information tonight, which I thought was appreciate that, Rich. And
see, now you have more ammo. So when Wade goes lawyer on you, you got your own little case book to throw right back at him.
Yeah. When Wade goes lawyer, but the dictionary is what I'm scared of now. Now he's using the dictionary, and that's what got. And I got yelled at with the. I got hit with a dictionary last weekend. So it'll be fun. We'll do what we do. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate all the listeners, particularly the VIP members. And, of course, you can listen to these shows on PW Torch Livecast and PW Torch VIP. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP-exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP-exclusive podcasts, The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post-pay-per-view roundtables with the one-hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.